Yeah.
He's got 9 attacks starting out.
So he could have 12.
Yeah.
Wimpway has finally brought you here. Behold, Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Evening, everybody.
And Red Powell.
What up?
We are right off the heels of the LVO. It was such a pleasure saying hey to folks that listened to the show over the course of the weekend. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, thank you to everyone and anyone who came and said g'day. It was really nice.
Couldn't go anywhere in the hall without, you know, seeing a bunch of cool people playing games, enjoying Warhammer, and even better when you can get some fist bumps and say, what's up? They like the show. It can warm my heart the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you 100%. Again, we've talked about it being like a family reunion before, and it's just such a big deal for me. I mean, I you know, honestly, and from all of our position, you know, and to be able to meet Tanya in person, you know, I'm sorry she couldn't be with us tonight, but to be able to engage with everyone else in person as well, and to be able to see you all, the whole family reunion piece, it's just such a big deal for me. I mean, and to be fair, you know, honestly, did you all get to play any games?
I did not.
Me,
Adam,
either.
Did you?
No.
Yeah, me neither. But you know what? That's probably it's one of the highlights of my year on an annual basis, even though I didn't get to play a single game. As much as I would love to, the ability to just engage and communicate to everybody, to see everybody, and you see everybody kind of, I'm fortunate if I can see as many as I'd like to through all the different events, but a lot of times it's kind of like, you know, regional aspects. Like I see some people here, or I go somewhere else and I see them there or whatever. But then you come to something like the LVO and it's just this huge gathering from all over, and it's just such a good time. I really can't wait till the next one. Can't wait for the next opportunity.
I think Adepticon be the next big one coming up soon.
Yeah, I if I could, I know. So, I mean, the Army team's going to have some representation there, but unfortunately, I've got just a little bit of training and it happens to fall right in line with that. So, I know. I hate, got to do what you got to do, right? And if you love what you do, you'll never work another day in your life. So I can't complain because I do love what I do. But unfortunately, I'll have to miss out on the awesome opportunities that come with Adepticon. You know, last year was my first year, and I just had such an amazing time.
It's definitely worth checking out. I was doing some commentary from the Sigmar side.
Yeah.
That was a blast. That crowd over there
looked like it was awesome.
It's a party atmosphere. Way different.
During the awards, it was wild. Like, they were rowdy as... And it was nice.
Well, to see that energy, you know, but it translated into fun games. Like, everyone was, even in the finals, people were rooting for both sides. Like, the same people were rooting for both sides.
That's awesome.
Of the finals and cheering on everybody's kind of accolades and what they were doing during the game. It was a very tense game. It actually came down to, like, the last turn, the last die rolls of the game. And almost got called incorrectly at the end. But they fixed it, or they realized it, you know, of course, before scores were submitted, and it was a nail biter. And when I say that people were cheering for both sides, it's like all the people were cheering for the person they thought won, and 30 seconds later, they were cheering for the other guy. So that was amazing. But Adam, I know you were on the 40K side.
Yeah, that was amazing in and of itself. The semi-final game between, there was an Aussie versus the legend, Sean Naden, in the semi-finals, and they put in a score wrong on turn 3, which is entirely their responsibility to score their game. And because of that, they realized they couldn't make it right in any other way but then to roll off. So biggest Age of Sigmar event of all time, called by yourself, biggest 40K event of all time, called by myself, and to get into the final of the biggest 40K event of all time was a roll-off. It was a roll-off between two absolute gents, a gentleman's agreement. Absolutely incredible.
Well, look, we play an exciting game, exciting things happen, and, you know, sportsmanship was high all around. Really cool time to be there and be a part of that. Check out some of the coverage if you haven't already. Had a lot, like, the Sigmar chat was so cool. Like, people were, like, really helpful to other players and helpful to us, you know, me and Andy Talbot, who was commentating with me, you know, working through some issues for some armies that maybe we had, you know, less familiarity with. And it was just a really good time. Cannot stress that enough.
Yeah, Andy did a good job, legitimately. Because that was his first time, right?
First time ever, I mean, yeah.
Naturally, he's jumping in the hot seat with the champion yourself at the reins. But yeah, he was no passenger.
No, got into it. You know, it's like one of the things, give him a little pep talk before we start and off to the races. Very cool. We want to talk about World Eaters today, though.
Oh, snap.
I know. World Eaters, you know, I know people dig this faction, and even better when you get, like, new models and a new Primarch and new rules. It's a whole thing, man.
I mean, you know, let me push my glasses that I don't wear up on my face a little bit as I say, like, you know, I did it first. I'm kidding. I didn't do it first. I've just been a huge fan. But to see it, like, play out and all the hype that it's getting right now, I'm really excited. I mean, I think that it's going to be awesome. I think that they've built some really thematic components. I mean, clearly from the stuff that I've seen from the Warhammer community articles, Blood Tithe is coming back, which Blood Tithe, we've talked about it before, Blood Points, you know, from the Khorne Demonkin from old 7th edition. So to have that come back now, I think it's really exciting. That mechanic was really good, really played into it. For an army that gets no psychic capabilities, the Blood Tithe is something that I think really makes up for a lot.
I think it was the best mechanic of 7th edition. Really paved the way for, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, all the internal resource mechanics that we have now.
Right.
Man, Blood Tithe was the primogenitor. I'm so keen to see it back. The OG.
The Primarch, if you will.
The Primarch of the internal faction resource systems.
Oh, don't say like that. It's dirty.
We need an acronym. No.
don't do
IF,
that.
IFRC. IFRS. Yeah, perfect.
Stop making it nerdy.
No.
let's talk about Blood Tithe. The Blood Tithe is different for this time is that you gain Blood Tithe points. Each time a unit is destroyed, you gain one BTP. At the end of each phase, if any character, monster, or vehicle units were destroyed that phase, you gain one additional BTP. At the end of each phase, if any Titanic units were destroyed that phase, you gain one additional BTP. For example, at the end of the fight phase, one Titanic vehicle character unit and one other unit have been destroyed, you would gain one Blood Tithe point for each unit as they were destroyed. Then at the end of the phase, you would gain one additional Blood Tithe point because a character or vehicle unit had been destroyed, and one additional Blood Tithe point because a Titanic unit had been destroyed, for a total of four BTPs during that phase.
Why do you get an acronym and I don't?
Well, that's in the book. I don't know. And this one is about Blood Tithe points, not internal resource allocation tools for our...
But no, that is sick. That is really cool. Can I ask the big question though? Because it's been alluded to that you can resurrect Angron.
So
please tell me how this works.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can. And let me like give you the like treatise on how the BTPs and the expenditures work is that you can use them to buy abilities that last for the rest of the game. It's not like an end of turn thing or a one phase thing. They last until the end of the game, such as Wrathful Devotion, four Blood Tithe points until the end of the battle. Each time a World Eater's model from your army would lose a wound, on a six, that wound is not lost.
Wait, that's just army wide for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Savage Guidance, until the end of the battle, each time a melee attack is made by a World Eater's model from your army, add one to that attack's hit roll. Yep. It's good stuff. So to answer your question specifically, though, Reborn in Blood, six Blood Tithe points. Place a destroyed Angron model from your army into Blasphemous Reserves with eight wounds remaining. That model is no longer considered to be destroyed and can be set up again in your reinforcement step as if it had the Warp Strike ability.
Yeah, let's do it. It's going. Infinite Angron. I mean, I guess it can't be infinite, technically. Once you run out of people to kill, like, it happens. But
well, the game will end.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. Somebody wins and Khorne ultimately comes out on top.
Yeah.
So I like this a lot. I like this a lot for a multitude of different reasons. I like that this actually feels well balanced for what it is, because he comes back and arrives essentially from Deep Strike Reserve as the best amalgam of different what this is called. So he Deep Strikes back on the table 9 inches away. That means he is nullified from getting to the best bits, unless he rolls the nine, in which case, you know, he's, hopefully if you're savvy about this, he's not charging something juicy and really, really potent. But that puts him out of commission for at least a turn from getting to your best stuff. So if you've killed him once, But here's the opposite effect. If let's say I go first and I'm playing like Tau and I just railgun him between the eyes, he's going to come back closer to me than when I just killed him. I'm helping. This is not good.
That's
exciting.
With the rest of the army coming forward, I think that's the plan, is like run a bunch of 8-bounds and Red Butchers up the table and hope everybody spends time killing Angron.
Exactly right. And then you just re-rack him, reload the Red Angel and shoot him back in the battlefield.
There is a BTP here, Rage-Fueled Invigoration. Until the end of the battle, add 1 to charge rolls made for World Eaters units in your army, and that is 3 Blood Tide points.
Oh, fantastic. So you can get a nice 8 with a CP reroll.
I mean, there's that, right? So that's just one thing. And then on top of that is the Lord Invocatus, who allows you to pregame move folks. And then on top of that are the Juggernaut Lords, who also give you +2 inches to movement and to core units. And so you're talking about things really starting to move. I mean, in the 8-bound move exceptionally far already at base value. So there is a ton of movement on this army.
I was really excited to see how they... We're gonna go about making the World Eaters not just feel like Blood Angel Spacers, like a sisters, even just like another fast melee centric power armor army. And I think they've done it. I think they really have done it.
A lot of the old like relics and banners and that kind of stuff are in the army still. Like the Berserker Glaive is the thing. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, an unmodified 6 scores 2 additional hits, -3 AP, 2 damage, +2 strength.
Sick.
Pretty good. Favorite of Khorne in your command phase. If your warlords on the battlefield, you gain 1 Blood Tithe point. That's a warlord trait.
Yep.
I don't mind that. I think that sounds
very takeable.
I mean, especially if you can get to 2 or 3 on the first turn, and then by turn 2, you're rocking and rolling with pluses to charge or pluses to hit or whatever.
How does Khan work now? Does Khan still is he Mr. Stop Hitting Yourself?
Let's check him out. You want to start with Karn first, respect, instead of Angron? So,
I mean, we gotta ramp up.
No, let's go ahead. He wanted to just open the door. Let's do it.
Okay. We gotta step up to the big boy, right? We can't blow the lead.
So Karn the Betrayer has a 4+ invulnerable save. He has a legendary killer aura. While a friendly World Eater's core unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time a model in this unit makes an attack, reroll wound roll of 1. Yep. So, and then the Betrayer. At the end of the fight phase, if there are any other friendly units within 3 inches of this model, roll a d6. On a 1, select one of those units that unit suffers 2 mortal wounds.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's fine. You could have a 6 up against that.
So you could. So he has the Arch Slaughterer. Each time this a warlord is selected to fight, if there are 6 or more enemy models within 3 inches of this warlord, until those attacks have been resolved, add D3 to this warlord's attack characteristics.
Yeah.
He's got 9 attacks starting out.
So he could have 12.
Yeah. At -4 AP, damage 3, strength 6.
What? Yeah. Wow.
Hold on. What? Say that again?
What? Yeah.
Gorchild is strength user, which happens to be 6 on Karn. -4 AP, 3 damage. Yeah, let's just soak that in for a second.
Yeah, holy crap. 12 attacks. Yeah. And I've got to assume there's ways to get more blood tithing +1 attack or something, or other auras. Who cares? 12 is a lot.
Throw a 13 on there. And add 1 to the attack roll, add 1 to charge rolls, get a 5+ invulnerable save from, a feel no pain from mortal wounds, and then warp blades, which is the one I think we're fishing for here, until the end of the battle, each time a warlord model from your World Eaters model from your army makes a melee attack, improve the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by 1. So, -5 AP.
-5, no big deal. Easy reach.
Yeah, no worries.
Easy reach.
Yeah, yeah, NBD.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing that, armor contempt still exists. Oh, wait, it doesn't.
Oh, man, I was about to do the same thing. Now I regret thinking that because you did it, Adam. Oh.
Yeah, we're just in sync. There's no denying it. Our bond, Red, is tight.
So the Lord Invocatus, Lord Avocado.
I mean, we've got Lord Disco. We've got to have Lord Avo.
Yeah. So leading the charge, while friendly World Eater's core unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time that unit is selected to make a normal move or advance until the end of the phase, add 2 to the move characteristic of models in that unit. He moves 12. I see this as like a way to keep maybe the Berserkers pretty close to him for the first turn.
Yep.
And then he's gone.
Well, you don't want him nearby too often, right?
It's Lord Invocatus, as we're talking about.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah,
you want him nearby.
Terminators are also core, so I think that helps. There is a World Eater's Master of Executions too.
Well, because why not, right?
Yeah. I mean, six attacks, five wounds, warp-sided butcher. This model is eligible to perform a heroic intervention if it's within 6 inches horizontally or 5 inches vertically. Each time this model makes a heroic intervention, it must go the closest any model within engagement range. It can move up to six of character units. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. Each time this model makes a melee attack against an enemy character, you can reroll the wound roll. Is Axe of Dismemberment. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, an unmodified hit roll of six inflicts two mortal wounds on the target, and the attack sequence ends.
It sounds very similar to is it the Judicia? The Judica? So I think I've only just realized that they're like they're dark mirrors of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much it. Can we work up to Angron yet? Or are you still want to go World Eater's Lord?
All I want to know is, do I get rewarded for taking units of eight dudes? Like, God, this eight, damn it.
I wish.
That's all I wanted.
I was really surprised with the eight bound and everything that they go up their units of three. I was surprised they weren't like units of four.
Yeah, it's you can get six eight bound, which is like a crime, isn't it? I mean, that's probably what set them all off. It's not the butcher's nails. It's like...
You're saying if there was eight in a unit, they'd be peaceful gentlemen? Like, they'd be like, they'd just calm right down if there was eight of them.
Could have righted the whole universe. The exalted eight-bound.
They're called eight-bound. Why can't I?
Yeah, well, now it's just, that is a six-pack. Doesn't sound near as intimidating.
No. Yeah, that bothers me. It's gonna live rent-free in my head for a bit.
Yeah, Red, you're probably thinking about the exalted eight-bound, which do have a three. Unit cap.
That's it. Yeah, three unit cap. But the others are six, you said?
Yeah.
The regular, so that means rebound. I can run them at fours, and then I can at least get to multiples of eight. I mean, I'm sure, at six you could do that too, but you're right.
Like, yeah, how many eight bound, max units of eight bound and exalted eight bound do you need to get to hit a number divisible by eight?
I mean, that takes us to the Army of Renown, right, where the eight bound count as, for Angron, count as, and this is coming from the Warhammer community article where they talk about it, this Army of Renown where the eight bound count is objective secured, which I think is a pretty big deal.
Eight bound, like I said, there really are no joke. They got movement 9, so if you're around the Lord Invocatus, they're moving, 11.
Yeah, horn possessed on angry crack.
Yeah, so each time, so they're 8-bound Eviscerator. Each time a bearer fights, it makes one additional attack with this weapon, which is -3, 2 damage, strength to the user, which happens to be 6. Or the Heavy Chain Glaive. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, make 2 hit rolls instead of 1. -3 AP, 1 damage. And then the Blood Scent, if this unit is in strategic reserves, it can be set up in the battle rounds if it was 1 higher than it currently is, regardless of any mission rules. Note, this means this unit can be set up on the battlefield during the first battle round.
Yeah.
Okay. Who needs drop pods? Just come in, man.
Stop it. They just shoot them from orbit, and they're so angry. They're fine. Just Goku impacting.
Yeah. They have a 5+ invulnerable save. And then enemy units within 6 subtract 1 from the leadership.
Yep, cool.
That's the regular 8-bound. The exalted 8-bound don't get this. The exalted 8-bound have a 4+ invulnerable save.
Fantastic. Are they like greater possessed?
Could they be in the units of 3?
Are they like a blitz? Obliterators? People are likening them to what mutilators used to be, right?
I could see that they're very mutilator-like.
I like that. I like that mutilator isn't gone, deleted from our lexicons.
Oh, there's totally no keyword mutilator on here. I'm just saying they happen to be fighty and kind of obliterator-y.
Well, they have it in my heart. And that's what really matters.
All right. These are 3+ save models, not 2+ save models.
Okay. How many? What toughness? How many wounds?
They are toughness for the exalted 8-bound. Toughness 5, 3 wounds apiece.
Okay. Yeah. No, they're not a blitz.
Same for the regular 8-bound. Also, toughness 5, 3 wounds. Some of the other stuff in the book, you can get the predators, get forge fiends, mauler fiends, and hell drakes and rhinos, and of course the Lord of Skulls and land raiders.
Cool.
I wonder if the 8-bound can go in land raiders.
Yeah.
Let me check. Super says.
You can. Bet they
can. Are they the toughness 9 variety?
Now, they're toughness 9. This model has a transport capacity of 10 World Eater infantry models. Each Terminator and 8-bound model takes up 2 spaces.
Yes. I don't hate this.
It's time, man. It's time. It's coming.
Four in a character. Yeah. 4 8-bound and a Master of Executions. Yeeteth. Off you go.
Yeeteth. I love it. You can, I think you take spawn too.
Gotta be able to take spawn, right?
Chaos spawn, yep.
What self-respecting chaos army doesn't allow you to take Chaos Mon. I mean, never mind the rest of everything else that Chaos may have, but Chaos Mon better be able to beat them.
It's the end of the journey. It's the destination for all true worshippers. It's what you aspire. You look at the top of the Chaos Pyramid, and you're like, it's the top. The one above Demon Prince.
Doesn't sooner or later everything become a spawn one way or another?
Exactly.
I disagree with this hardcore, but okay.
It goes to apotheosis, spawnhood. I'm joking. It doesn't, but yeah, it's funny.
I mean, I don't want to be a spawn, but I feel like it's, you know, if you're on the path, the eightfold path.
Just think how simple your life would be if you were a spawn, like deep down.
Yeah, good point.
It's true. It's honest, good, hard fun, you know?
I promise we'll talk about Angron in a second, but I want to go over some of the stratagems. There are a couple of new mechanics in the stratagems that are here. So the mechanics in the stratagem kind of give you options of paying 1 or 2 CP in a couple of these. One of these is Skulls for the Skull Throne. Use this stratagem when an enemy warlord is destroyed by a melee attack made by a world eater's character model from your army. Select one or both of the following. Bullet point 1 is you gain 2 additional blood tide points. Bullet point 2 is until the end of the battle, add 1 to the advance and charge rolls made for the world eater's character model. If you selected one of the options above, the stratagem cost 1 CP, otherwise it's 2. Yeah, I kind of look at this as like if your character, you've sent them over there, they're on the kind of their last legs, they've taken out the enemy character, and you know they're not going to be charging whatever later on because they're going to get shot and killed. Just spend the 1 CP and get your 2 blood tithe points and bring Angron back next round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some armies that just can't stop you, like knights, you know? You're going to stop an Angron, you're going to stop a friggin' Lord Avo from making it to your knight who's on like a couple of wounds left, getting that scalp and powering up. It's going to be hard.
Blood Frenzy is another one. Use this stratagem in the fight phase when an enemy unit is selected to fight. Select one World Eater's core unit from your army that is within engagement range of that enemy unit until that enemy unit's attacks have been resolved. Each time a model is selected in the selected unit is destroyed by a melee attack. If that model has not fought this phase, do not remove it from play. The destroyed model can fight after the enemy unit's attacks have been resolved and then is removed from play. If selected, World Eater's unit is a troop. The stratagem costs 1 CP. Otherwise, it costs 2 CP. It's a little fight on death with a blood frenzy.
Have to have it. I mean, if they don't fight on death, who deserves to? I mean, I'm of the opinion all their characters should have exploding mechanics as they're like just going absolutely furiously into the grave.
That does sound pretty cool. Red Butchers is back. Use this stratagem in the fight phase when a World Eater's Terminator or 8-bound unit from your army is selected to fight. Until the end of the phase, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, add 1 to the damage characteristics of that attack.
So that's different, right? That's not the Red Butchers of old. So it is back with that title, but Red Butchers used to be choose a unit of Terminators and turn them into Berserker Terminators. Mm-hmm. So I guess for the crowds out there that are big fans, are there Terminators like that anymore, or is it just Terminators?
They are just Terminators.
That's okay. I think it's just something that, you know, kind of got to embrace and run with in the new stuff. Like, I mean, you got Angron.
Terminators with 4 attacks apiece.
Right. I mean, they're serious Terminators, that's for sure.
And, you know, I think turning their accursed weapons into damage 2. Each time the bearer fights, it makes 1 additional attack with his weapon. So, you know, lots of attacks, damage 2, -3 AP. And that's not counting, you know, the other weapons you can't equip them with.
Right.
Malicious volleys. Instead of following the normal rules for rapid fire weapons, models in the unit shooting a combi bolter or bolter bolt gun profile of a combi flamer always make double number of attacks instead of only when the target is within half range.
Yeah, so that's the carryover for all the Terminator-esque and the biker-esque. Do they get bikers?
I did not see any bikers.
Interesting. Yeah. Bikers and raptors are the ones I want to know if they're in there, because they add a little bit of, I suppose, flexibility to things. You're not just stuck with rhinos and
I think you're going to be rhinos and land raidering.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, on release, T-Suns and Death Guard were in a similar position where they had quite limited unit options and they expanded on in waves. This is the very first World Eaters Codex we've ever had, right? Like standalone.
I mean, Khorne, Demonkin, sure. World Eaters.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just the beginning of things. But yeah, all right. It's time. Let's talk about the big bad.
It's
the
Angron time.
No, I'm joking. Angron. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Angron. 18 power level, 18 wounds, what he starts with also. Strength 9, toughness 7, 12 attacks, 2+ save. Has two weapons, the Spine Grinder and Summonarius.
The black sword.
Yep, that's one of the that's the sword. Yep.
Each time an attack is made with this weapon, select one of the profiles below to make that attack with. So the Skull Taking Slash is plus 5 strength, -4 AP, D3 plus 3 damage. Or the Bloodletting Sweep, each time an attack is made with this weapon profile, make 3 hit rolls instead of 1, which is -3 AP, 1 damage.
How many attacks does he have on his profile again?
12.
That's
he does degrade, goes from 12 to 10 to 8.
What's it? I thought he'd be like Skybrand. He would go up in attacks, like down in movement and like stuff like that. But yeah, I thought his attacks might go up. Like, yeah. But
he anyway. Never loses. He never gets worse to hit and never gets weaker.
Oh, that's fair.
He just gets a few less attacks. Interesting to note, though, if you bring him back from the dead, he comes back with 10 attacks. He's in his mid bracket.
That's cool. So he doesn't come up. He doesn't come at full, but he doesn't come at the bottom bracket. So that's a happy medium. Crowd goes wild. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Lord of the Arena, in your command phase, select one friendly World Eaters core or World Eaters character unit within 6 inches of this model until the start of your next command phase. Each time a model in that unit makes an attack, you can reroll the hit roll. So pretty good.
Yep, so Chapter Master goodness.
Yeah, put that although, on some 8-bound.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know his abilities off the top of my head. Does he like give out? Because like Gilliman gives out an aura of Chapter Master still. Like Morven Vile gives out rerolls to wound as well.
Does
he
give out? Select one of the following abilities. This model has the ability to use until the start of your next phase, command phase. Infectious Rage. While a friendly World Eater's core unit is within 6 inches of this model, add one of the attached characteristic of that model in the unit. Glorious Bloodletting. While another friendly World Eater's unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack, reroll hit rolls of 1. And then Righteous Slaughter. While a unit is within 6 inches of this model, that unit cannot fall back.
Ooh, there's the killer. That's a backbreaker right there.
Yeah, cannot.
That's a mechanic right there that people just, we've talked about the intricacies of the fight phase and charging and everything that goes into it and the back and forth with it. And that is something that people will, it'll take them a minute to get used to for sure. Yep. The fact that they can't fall back from them if that's what is in effect.
Yeah, you get to pick that and obviously be situational. The Warlord trait, the Red Angel. While an enemy unit while an enemy unit with the objective secured ability is within 6 inches of this warlord, it loses that ability.
He's just too angry. He's so angry he turns off your rules.
He's going to shout you off that objective.
Yeah. Just going down the Jang tank for a minute. A lot of the better demon players that I've noticed are taking Skybrand. They're taking a lot of ways to deny fallbacks. So you can. I don't know how the points are, all the restrictions, or like 25% restrictions or whatever. But you could take Angron, Skarbrand, like, and some other like Khorne Demon jank along with this, make it feel like Khorne Demon King and just double down on some of these mechanics. That feels pretty sick.
A couple of those cannons.
Yeah. I mean, you got to, we talked about the bolter piece and then we look at the cannons and everything. There's some aspect to this that you got to realize that there is. Now, it may not be the at the forefront of the Khorne army, but there is some advantage to killing things in every phase and being able to kill things in the shooting phase and be able to get those blood tithe points, BTPs, and bring it to bear, really, to make this army continue to maintain that momentum.
Well, exactly right. You don't want your opponent to be able to play keep away and just nullify that mechanic. You want ways to get some before you come to bear. So you're supercharged when you do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think a little bit of DACA is going to go along the way. I mean, Skull Cannons and Forge Fiends can pick up quite a few units in the game at the moment, especially with Armor of Contempt not being so bad for things like auto cannons.
Right.
And also, Skull Cannons ignore cover just innately. Yeah. So they're fantastic.
Angron is 360 points.
That is 10 points more than Abaddon. So. Not bad.
I think they're a pretty good bargain when you factor in all the rest of the stuff happening in the army and the fact that you can kind of use them a time and a half. Like you're getting 300, you're paying 360 points, but you're getting.
Well, he almost functions like he's wound gated. Yeah, as long as you can guarantee you can bring him back. Like he almost functions like a Catan. Like you, yeah. Like or a sister's character. You know, you pay the miracle dice and the CP, and you bring him back. The only thing I'd say is regretful about him is that like if he died turn 4. You wouldn't try and bring him back. because what, then he deep strikes turn five and then has to roll a nine. Otherwise, he's done nothing and no point bringing it back. But things like assassinate score at the end of the game.
Right.
Things like bring it down score at the end of the game. So you can deny people points off getting that kill if you bring him back late in the game, keep him alive. So I think that's a really cool tactic that well-deeded players can bring to bear as well.
If I got BTPs and he's dead, there's no way I'm not bringing him back.
Yeah, well, he has to be your wallet as well, I assume, as like a Primarch level character. So he's 4 points on assassinate if you kill him. And you're like, oh, you killed him turn four? Well, I'm going to bring him back in my backfield turn five. And thank you very much. No points for you, sir.
Good. Yeah, good spot there. You can take other things in here too, like Demon Princes and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. It's kind of hard not to want to take the Primarch. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with some more analysis of this.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everybody. I want to talk about these Blood Tithe points. We talked about some of the cool things that they do, but we did not talk about like when do you act them out or whatever. At the end of each phase, after gaining any Blood Tithe points, you can spend them to purchase a Blessing of the Blood God. You can purchase as many of these Blessings of the Blood God as you wish during the battle, but you can only purchase one per phase, with the exception of Reborn in Blood. You can only purchase each Blessing of the Blood God once per battle. Each Blessing of the Blood God has an associated BTP cost. If you do not have enough BTP for a blessing, you cannot purchase it. When you select a Blessing of the Blood God, its BTP cost is deducted from your total. Yeah, Reborn in Blood as many times as you want.
Just keep telling you, it's awesome. That kind of momentum and cycle, and really the mechanics behind this, it is. I agree, Adam. It's what separates it from just another melee army. It is this kind of it brings the army, I would say, out of the typical cycle, puts it in its own category of its own, and then you bring in Angron, and you have this reoccurring thing, and you have all this like this mounting momentum, this berserker kind of just. Onslaught that goes to the entire army. You can really feel the mechanics in play, and as a Khorne player, I'm extremely excited to see it out in the field.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be absolutely sick. I think there's going to be some ways to jank it. I think an MSU play style is really going to help a lot, and mostly because I think it's going to help you get your stuff killed early, so that you can have that tally up when the meaningful stuff makes combat.
Well, and so it for me, like looking at it's I do want tons of berserkers, but at the same time, I don't mind having a bunch of 5-man berserker squads.
Yeah.
They go out. Well,
just don't forget the jackals. I mean, you got cheaper stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff to bring in.
Single units of spawn, even like just getting rhinos killed. It's all going to be fantastic for racking up these points.
Each time a unit is destroyed, you gain one blood type point.
Hellbrutes is another one.
They're never getting destroyed.
Well, then you're fine. It's happy days. Your Hellbrute makes it into combat. But they're cheap, they're resilient for the points, so they usually take an over-investment of anti-tank to take them down for how much they cost. They pack a relevant gun, and they smash when they make it into combat. Plus, they'll give you 2 blood type points when they go down.
Yeah, they need okay, so their vehicle and a unit.
A unit. Yeah. They're a vehicle, and they exist.
They qualify. Yeah, check it out. Yay. Some excellent deduction there.
Yeah, spot on.
One of the other ones we didn't talk about is Total Carnage. 6 blood tithe points until the end of the battle. Each time a melee attack is made by a World Eater model from your army, an unmodified hit roll of a 6 automatically wounds the target.
Fantastic. Why did you just get that all game? That's, oh man. I keep thinking this is like turn by turn stuff, but no, you just turn this on and it just stays on. Like Power from Pain for Drakkari. This is phenomenal buffs.
Yeah, I do like it's at the end of each phase so that you can do this. So into the psyche phase. Well, I guess you wiped out 4 or 5 units. Well, boom, now I'm wounding you on 6s automatically.
Exactly right.
There's some play there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we haven't really like crafted a list yet or anything, but the ones, so all the blood tithe points is the spiteful nullification that gives you a 5+ feel no pain against mortal wounds. That's only 2 blood tithe points. I don't mind that.
I don't hate it.
I mean, let's think of a world where one does not take Angron in every list.
I'm the filthy meta chaser, and I foresee many a time when Angron won't be the best choice.
Yeah.
I love the idea of Khan, though. Like, do yourself a favor. Slap Khan in there. But, I mean,
where I'm
same
going
issues
with
as
this,
all the other pro-
yeah is that
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, where I'm going with this is that if you're not saving up for Reborn in Blood twice, it kind of frees you up to, I mean, that's 12 blood type points that you have now in your at least mental math have to use to spend on lots of other things.
Yeah, army wide, 6 is to hit auto wound, plus to charge, 6 I feel no pain. These are all could be things that are all active constantly for your army, like turn 3, turn 4, depending on how you rack them up.
That 6 plus feel no pain across the board, the Wrathful Devotion is only 4 blood type points.
Yeah, wow. Wow. That's incredible.
I think that is very doable.
Absolutely is.
And that's one of those things you can rack up. Like, let's say a psyche phase goes by. They kill enough to give you the blood type points you need. Now, in the shooting phase, you've got a 6 plus invulnerable. I'm sorry, I feel no pain. I like this mechanic. I like the fact that it does apply for the whole game. It's like just when you get it off. And there will be, I'm sure, ways to engineer. You know, I mean, let's talk about this. Bringing those 8 bound down on turn 1.
That's right. Putting it out there, right? Like, if you kill them, it causes its own thing. But at the same time, they've got a lot of opportunity being able to come down in turn 1 and what they can do.
The 8 bound, let's see their points. 8 bound are 40 points a model. The exalted 8 bound are 135 points for the 3 models.
Not bad, especially given their wounds and toughness. Not bad at all.
Yeah, and I guess the fact you can buff them and then bring them down so early. Maybe they got some points built in for that inherent ability. God, we've been through this. We haven't even talked about Berserkers.
Right. Haven't even got to the meat and potatoes. Talk about Angron. Haven't even got, like, that's the steak. Haven't even gotten to the real potatoes of this. Berserkers.
Kind of a crime, right?
Well, you think about it, is that the Berserkers were like the only thing for World Eaters for so long.
That's right.
And now there's all these other cool things. And are we moving into a Hellbrute meta?
I think Hellbrutes do a lot. I think that there's some really awesome aspects to that. Definitely bring the pain.
If you can figure out a way to bring your own Bloodtithe farm, you're probably ahead of the game. Okay, we can talk about Berserkers. Is it 4 attacks piece, 2 wounds, move 6, 3 plus save. They can get the icon keyword, which is important for, you know, the other stuff. For every 5 models in the unit, 1 Khorne Berserker bolt pistol can be replaced by 1 plasma pistol. For every 5 models in the unit, Khorne Berserker's Berserker Chainblade can be replaced with 1 Khornate Eviscerator, which is a -4 AP 2 damage weapon plus 3 strength. They're strength 5 base, so that moves them up to strength 8. They have an ability called Blood Surge. Each time an enemy unit is selected to shoot, if any of those attacks target this unit, after the enemy's unit attacks have been resolved, if any models in this unit were destroyed by those attacks, this unit can make a Blood Surge move. If it does so, any actions this unit is performing fail, then roll a d6. Each model in this unit can be moved a distance in inches up to the result, but must finish the move as close as possible to the closest enemy unit. This unit cannot end its move within engagement range of enemy units. That's other cool. than the closest enemy unit. A unit cannot make a Blood Surge move in the same turn it disembarked from a destroyed transport, or if it's already in engagement range. Blood Surgeon.
That's a great fun mechanic. Very similar to Black Templar's push.
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all are the chaos ones.
Thanks. Everybody's chaos, didn't you know? Whether you want to or not, you're playing the game.
Yep. Demon Prince is in here. I can see that being a pretty good choice. You can get wings, give it 12-inch fly. You know, I'm kind of attracted to anything that gets across the board faster.
Right.
I think that's key, right?
Yeah. And this Lord Invocatus is no slouch, built in 4+ invulnerable.
Did you mention a pregame move? I think at the start of the show.
I was going to Road of the 8 Bloody Steps. At the start of the first battle round, but before the first turn begins, you can select up to 2 friendly World Eater core units within 9 inches of the Warlord. The unit and the selected units can each make a normal move.
Yeah, boy. So that's very similar to when Blood Angels have a similar mechanic, Bloody Rose Sisters have a similar mechanic, and good World Eaters 100% should have that mechanic.
So the Terminators can move, they are core. Oh my goodness, the 8 bound are core.
Yeah.
So wait, so it just says core, so I'm assuming it doesn't mean you can move transports. So you can't roll up 2 rhinos and the Warlord?
It does say World Eater's core unit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, let me check to see if the core is on the rhino. I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so.
They are not core.
Probably for the best. If you're going to let them do more than one, because most of these things, you know, like it's one unit of Death Company with a jump pack. It's one unit of, it's one rhino for sisters. This is letting you do 3. So if you could do, like, you know, 2x5 berserkers in a rhino, 2x5 berserkers in a rhino, and a warlord, and just be like, here are four things that'll kill just about anything you got.
Yeah.
And then turn one, you kill your opponents. Every obsec model your opponent's got in their army, and then they can't win anymore. That would feel bad.
Yeah, this is... being able to actually get off the line and get into combat seems pretty good. The 8-bound are, I think, going to be standout winners. Terminators, too, though. Probably in the Hobby Lag segment, you're probably going to encounter Terminators a little bit more than you'll encounter than you'll encounter the 8-bound. I don't know, Ray, what you think?
Man, I think, like you said, with the Terminators piece, I'm looking at my old Red Butchers right here right now. I think they did some great fan service, and I think that they've really taken the Khorne World Eaters up to the next level for everybody. I think that they didn't walk away from anything, if that makes sense. Sometimes, when updates happen, you're kind of looking at stuff and you're like, oh, well, that's not necessarily usable anymore. Now, they did step away clearly from some of the Chaos Space Marine pieces, right? We don't have Raptors. We don't have people with jump packs. I mentioned that before. It's a little bit of disappointment in that, but I think that taking what they have and what's available to us, I'm more than happy with what they have. The 8-bound is kind of weird at first when they talked about how it released, and they're like starting from 3 to 6 models, but I get it. I kind of get where they're going with it. I think that the timing of it plays out well with all the other mechanics. And so I do think that it's a very well put together codex, and I'm really excited to see it play on the table.
All I can say is it's a bad time.
Right.
Like just the World Eaters got their own book.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after we saw the, Death Guard and Thousand Sons, I mean, it's due. And I would argue that there's plenty of Slaanesh, Emperor's Children players out there
Absolutely.
That can't wait as well. But, clearly they're making their way. There has been progress. We've seen this continued development. So it's really exciting to see the third Demon Primarch hit the table with this codex.
First Primarch in a long time as well. It's been, was it 4 years between drinks? Or did we figure out it was 5 years between drinks since Morty dropped?
He was in 2017.
Extremely exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 6 years, but probably 5.
Yeah. Oof. Anyway, so it's a gorgeous model, and we'll definitely be hitting the tables. People are going to need an Angron contingency, much like the Heresy. Sanguinius ain't here to save you.
Oof, let's not. that book review. Oof.
Yeah, there's the bingo card check for everybody. Paul mentions Blood Angels. Good.
Had to slip it in here at the end.
So. Yeah.
Well, folks, that is our show this week. I know it's a little bit of an abbreviated one. We'll be back next week, no doubt, talking about these amazing models and, Red's initial thoughts on the army list here. Kind of curious as to what you think after you start, kind of marinate on what the options are a little bit.
Can't wait.
That's it. We'll see y'all next week, everybody.
All right. See ya.
Is that?
Our craft worlds are sentient beings. These hosts are not. Better luck next time, monkeys!